Well, good early morning. It's amazing the things we've seen in the year 2020. Now, I'm not going to pull any wool over your eyes this morning. The message I'm preaching today, some of you have heard before. I preached this on May 17th of 2020, between Mother's Day and Memorial Day. He said, "Brother Cameron, what are you giving us leftovers for?" Because some of you didn't get it then. And I'm telling you, since May, we have seen so much by December, approaching the last week, that this message is more relevant for us today than we understood it to be back then. Why don't you say that, Brother Kevin? Well, I don't know. Since May, we've had two hurricanes, major hurricanes, here in Louisiana that have wiped out so many homes, businesses, lives have been disrupted. Still under a pandemic, where we've seen now almost 250,000 people that have died. Countless people who've been hospitalized. Countless ones who've been at home sick. We now understand that this virus can affect people differently. I'm looking at my cousin here who was in the hospital knocking on death's door because of the virus. And he's here praising God with us. And there's other church members today in the hospital fighting for their lives. Because of this. We didn't see that in May. We've seen an election that has thrown people in a tizzy. We've seen so much corruption in government. We've seen so many things now in December that we didn't see way back then. Man. Been a year. And I don't know about you, but for me, I think I keep waiting for Saturday morning to get here and it's 2021 and we wake up and all that's gone away and boy, everything is wonderful. It's not. Something that we've learned is that you need to hold loosely to the things in life. And hold tightly to Christ Jesus. Hold loosely the things in life. Your home, your job, your relationships. Because they're all temporary. And cling tightly to the things of God. If you have your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 11 through 18. It was said, decisions sometimes prove to be the hardest to make, especially when it's a choice between where you should be and where you really want to be. I tell you what, as I get older and the days go by, it sure looks better going to heaven than it does staying here. Over there looks a whole lot better than over here. So we begin reading Paul's letter to the church. Beginning in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak. Knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with him, with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, I love this, do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal or temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Man, those verses hit a lot harder today in December than they did back in May. Let's pray. Father God, today, speak to us. We're so much wiser, so much more knowledgeable, so much more experienced all these months later. God, we just look at our church, look here in Ville Platte, look here in Evangeline Parish, look in Louisiana, the things we've experienced over the last few months. God, you're doing something in us. You're doing something with us. We may not understand, we may not know it. God, and it's tough, it's hard. But Father God, we join by faith today, say, have your way, Lord. Have your own way in each of our lives. Even this morning as we hear this message, in Jesus' name, amen. So several thoughts we need to attack this morning that I believe will stick out a little harder to us today than when we've heard this before. The first one is this, is that Christians must die daily to self to live for Christ. Listen, you cannot live for yourself and live for Jesus at the same time. It's not to say that your goals in life and your plans for life doesn't matter. No, God has planted some things in your life for you to pursue. He's gifted you in a certain way to live out your life to give him glory. But life is really not about you. It's not about me. It's all about Christ. Verse 11 says, for we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Christ also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. First part of verse 1 says, facing death constantly for the sake of Jesus Christ. Paul is letting these Christians know that he was facing death every day for the sake of Christ. Paul and other believers were preaching and making disciples for Christ Jesus. And listen, they faced persecution. They knew what real persecution was back then. They were beaten and stoned and imprisoned. Many lost their lives because of Christ. In America, we have a hard time connecting with that. Because you got up this morning by your own free will and choice, got in your vehicle, and you drove here to church. And some chose not to be here because of safety factors, because of the virus going on. So they're watching by YouTube or by the Facebook or by internet. But no one told you you couldn't go to church today. No one taped up the door and locked it up and said, you're not going into your church. You see, Paul and them were threatened and arrested in prison and beaten, killed in torturous ways for the cause of Christ. So we ask, how could they continue spreading the gospel under such discouraging and dangerous conditions? They endured their persecutions to stay the course and persevere to the very end because they loved Jesus more than loved life. They loved Jesus more than they loved life. Can we say that as Christians today? Do you love Jesus more than you love your own life? Because when we say endure to the very end, persevere to the very end, that means we walk with Christ to the day that we die. We don't quit. We don't stop when things get difficult and get hard. We're persecuted for Christ. We don't quit. See, they chose daily to die to self. Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Paul says, I'm here for one reason only, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to as many people as I can. And if it costs me my life, I'm going to finish the race all the way. Can you say that, Christian? Can you say that I'm going to finish for Jesus? I'm going to finish for Christ. Paul held loosely to life, even though he loved deeply. Just because you hold things in life kind of loosely doesn't mean that you don't love people dearly and deeply. But it does mean that you've got your priorities right, that you realize this life is all temporary, every bit of it. Only your relationship with Christ is eternal. This church is temporary. The life, the air that you breathe is temporary. Everything that you have is temporary. Don't value it more than Christ. Paul refused to be distracted or consumed by problems and pains and earthly treasures. We learn a few things from Paul. Listen to these passages of Scripture about dying to sin even. Paul says, die to sin. In Romans chapter 6, verse 11, says, even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. How do we hold loosely to life? Is that we die to sin so that we can live for Christ. There are a lot of Christians who are trying to do both. Trying to keep the sin alive a little bit, just enough to have a little fun, but also play a little bit in church, do a little bit of the God thing, and somehow we try to work real hard to balance it all out. Paul says you need to die to sin. Second thing he says, die to the flesh. Romans 8:13 says, if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Also said, die to self. This is where we get hung up a lot. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. And it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Christians, if there's anything we should have learned in 2020, is how to live by faith. How to die to self. How to live faith in this life, because tomorrow is so unpredictable. We have no clue what tomorrow holds. We don't know what this afternoon holds. Listen, if you've battled that virus, you didn't know what the symptoms of the next day were going to be. You didn't know if the headache was going to be there, if you were going to be in bed, if the fatigue was going to hit. You didn't know if pneumonia, you didn't know. We learn to die to self very quickly because the future was very unfamiliar to us and unknown. See, we live for Jesus and we witness for Jesus as we surrender to the Holy Spirit to die to ourselves. Why? Why is this so vital for Christians? Well, verse 11, the middle part tells us, so that Jesus is manifest through us. The only way that we can make much of Christ is that we don't make a whole lot of ourselves. We're not self-promoters, we're Christ-promoters. If we're there promoting ourselves over and over and over again, then Christ just takes a back seat somewhere. It's hard to live like Paul if we're living for ourselves. See, the purpose for our lives, regardless of where God has placed us in this life, is to live for Jesus and make much of Him. See, our Heavenly Father is honored and glorified when Jesus is praised and exalted. We honor God when we honor His Son, exalt the Son. We're to show others Jesus, point them to the cross and resurrection. We're to tell them of His grace and forgiveness and coming kingdom. Paul tells us why. In verse 15, he says, "For all things are for you, for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God." You see, when we live for Christ, we make much of Him. People who do not know Him are impacted. And other believers who do know Him are encouraged. They're encouraged. When I see a Christian going through something in life and dealing with something, and listen, and put it aside and still give God glory, listen, that encourages me when I go through difficulties in life that I can give God glory. For all things. Second thing we see in this passage, do not give up when life seems so unfair. Can we pause for a minute? Do not give up when life seems so unfair. Because life is unfair. Why is there good people, and I say good in a loose way, why are there people who are godly people who have struggled all their life, and there are people who are so evil and had it made? Life's unfair. Why, there's these dear saints of God who are struggling to live. I've seen them walk in church carrying oxygen bottles, giving God glory. So why is life so hard for them and they're trying to serve God? You see others who are just reprobates. I mean, they don't give a care about anything of God, and life for them just seems to be so easy. Life's unfair. Why are there 4-year-olds fighting cancer? I don't know. You see, do not give up. Do not give up when life seems unfair. We see in verse 16, it says, "Therefore, we do not lose heart," Paul says in 2 Corinthians. Why? Because God is being glorified in us, and the lives of other people are changed as they witness our faith in action. Jesus is exalted and draws others to Himself. That Jesus, listen, when we go through life, when life is unfair to us, our reaction, how we handle that in faith and in action does something for other people. I often wonder why godly people had to suffer and why they went through. Well, first of all, we're in a sin-cursed world. We understand that. But why does God allow that? If God is a loving, good, and loving Father, why does He allow His children to go through these things? And He allows us to go through these things because the faith that He's building up in us pours over to others. And by pouring over to others, they grow and they gain something. See, the heaviness of life shouldn't stop us from worshiping God. No matter what life brings, the love of our Savior Jesus Christ holds us up and sustains us. No matter what our situations, listen, we should never give up, never quit, never throw in the towel. Why? Because we're too far along with Jesus to stop now. Think about what He's already brought you through. He's brought you through that. No matter what lies ahead, He'll bring you through that also. Besides, where else do you have to go? If you don't go to Christ, where else are you going to go? To yourself? You can't even make yourself breathe. Ask a COVID-19 patient who struggled to breathe. You can't predict what's going to happen tomorrow. You make your plans, but got to change them real quick. So if you don't go to Christ, where are you going to go? To the government? Yeah. I'll see how that works out for you. If you're not going to trust Christ Jesus, who are you going to trust? If you don't trust Christ, man, there's no hope. Just never give up. Your faith ought to be so strong. Listen, so strong and grow in Christ that your faith leads you through those difficult times when life seems so unfair. Listen, God builds us up and builds us up, and sometimes when something happens in our life and we're caught by a tragedy and very caught off guard by it, we wonder sometimes why God is allowing this to happen, and we realize, do I even have enough faith to carry me through that? Then that's when God comes along with us and strengthens our faith. Because He knows we're weak. He knows we're flawed and fallible. And He realizes that our faith sometimes needs some encouragement. Faith sometimes is just captured by God and held up. Let your faith in God sustain you. Praise Him in the prayer closet. Listen. Praise Him in your living room. Praise Him in your car. Praise Him wherever you go. Exalt Him for carrying you through. Praise Him in the sanctuary. Trust God through it all. Verse 8 and 9 tells us this. It says, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Listen, life can be unfair, but God is still in control. He's still the one who gives us the strength. He's still the one that when our focus is on Him, that's leading us home. Over there is looking a whole lot better than over here. God guides us to persevere to the very end. Some Christians need to learn how to praise Him through the storm in their life. Sometimes we need to learn how to praise Him through the pain, through our losses, through our disappointments. We need to learn to praise Him rather than complain. Well, it's easy to complain. Whew, I've learned that. I think that's one of the things that stuck out to me the hardest in the last. So God, give me the word to say, and He said, give Him this one. Why? Because He wanted to beat up on me first with it, in a good way. You're complaining about your pain, complaining about this, you're complaining about that, you don't know where it's going. Listen, God's like, I'm still in control. What you're going through, what you're experiencing, I knew about before you were ever born. I knew that you were going to go through this. And listen, my grace is sufficient for you. Have you heard that scripture before? My grace is sufficient for you to get you through that. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? We need to trust God's sustaining power. Proverbs 24:10 says, if you falter in a time of trouble, how small is your faith? Scripture's telling us, listen, if this thing happens and you falter in your faith and you quit God and you walk away from Him, how small is your faith really? You're not exercising it. Jeremiah 12:5 says, if you have run with the footmen and they have tired you out, how then can you compete with horses? If you fall down in a land of peace, how will you do in the thickets of Jordan? Man, if you can't walk in faith now, when things really get tough, your faith will falter. John 16:33, Jesus says, I've told you these things so that in me you have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Scripture tells us over and over, listen, when life is unfair, listen, your faith needs to be in Christ Jesus. I'll carry you, I'll hold you, I'll hold you up, I'll walk with you. Listen, you have nothing to fear, I'm with you. I know about what you're going through. I know every ache that you're going through. I know every doubt, uncertainty that you may have. I'm still with you. Now that's hard to put our minds around when a hurricane hits our house and blows it away. Or we've lost everything, just a frame left. Or we see our loved ones die from diseases and viruses. Hard to see that, but the truth of the matter is still there, that God is with us. Paul reminds us in Romans 8:37, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul is trying to get our minds off of the temporary things in this life. He's honest, he's like, listen, life will be unfair. There'll be things that you don't understand. There'll be losses that you have that you just shake your head. You don't know why this happened. You'll grow up in bad homes. Your marriages will go through difficulties. There will be children that go astray. But I'm still with you. I'm still here. God is our constant. In Christ Jesus. And verse 16 says, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Listen, all this is falling apart. But inside, we're being strengthened and renewed to face the challenges ahead. When we get our eyes on the challenges, fear and doubt and begin to consume us. But when we keep our eyes on Christ, it's amazing that those challenges begin to lose their power in our life. The challenges are still there, but they don't have the bite that they once had. Paul directs our thinking away from focusing on not what we want to be or where we want to be, but focus on what God is doing in us through our struggles. Man, we go through struggles, we're a different person on the other side. When you go through a life-changing struggle, you're a different person. You're not the same one. You see some priorities in life where Christ really fits into your life. And listen, you don't want to do things like you used to do. You want to make sure God is number one. And we look over this past year for the things and the losses that we've had. I tell you, life just doesn't have the same appeal that it used to. The things in this world just don't have the same appeal. And we're reminded as children of God that we're just passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And man, if we're trying to hold too tightly to all these things that we count as valued in life, if we're holding tighter to them than we are to God, man, we've missed it. We've missed it. Paul says, though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. See, sin deconstructs, Christ reconstructs. I love that. those things in this life that seem to be fair, unfair, and be pulling on us. The sin that can easily entangle us, and we get our minds sidetracked on fulfilling the flesh rather than fulfilling God's will. It's amazing. Those things tear on us. Christ reconstructs us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. And this mortal must put on immortality. Man, we're falling apart, but Christ is incorruptible. And He's the one that we put on to live this life. In Christ, we are being renewed every day. We are being transformed more and more into the image of Christ, even as our bodies are breaking down and our health is fading. Hold on to the things of this world loosely. But hold on to the things of God tightly. And the last thought from this is that our temporary affliction produces eternal rewards for the followers of Christ. So life can be unfair. We're going to go through some things in this world that we just don't understand. And man, we can sit here and pout about it. We can sit here and put posts up about it. We can complain and complain and complain. But do you realize that when we go through things in this life, that God allows us to build our faith up, that we're also putting rewards up in heaven? There's no reward for complaining in heaven. But there is reward in heaven for glorifying God. There is reward in heaven for exalting Him. You see, verse 17 and 18 says, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look at not the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Church, let's get our minds wrapped around this. These few verses. When life begins to hurt us, we'll begin to get a little clearer. And I think over the last few months, life began to hurt us a little bit more. And I think we can understand a little bit more that God has allowed some things in our life to grow us, but also to earn reward. Verse 17 says, for momentary light afflictions is producing. See, trouble doesn't last always. Have we learned that? That no matter what we've been through, it doesn't last forever? That it's all temporary? That whatever you're going through right now in life is temporary? Trouble and storms do not last forever. They pass over and pass through. And Christ allows those to happen. Troubles do not last forever. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. So we will go through these difficult times. We will have troubles. We will have tragedy. We will have things that are unexplained. But they're all temporary. Our troubles, our disappointments, our pain, it's all passing. They're momentary and light. Now I know some people are going to think, Pastor, you don't know what I've been through. And their eyes get real big. Their face gets real serious. You just don't know what I've been through. I've been through some stuff. You don't know where I've been. I've been through some stuff. Man, I don't know where you've been. I don't know. I've learned this too. What the pain that affects Greg may affect me differently. and affect Grayson a little differently. We all measure pain different. Stress, whatever else. Because God created us a little different. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what's happened in your life. I don't know the decisions you've made or the decisions other people have made that have put you in the situation you are now. I don't know that. But they're momentary. The Bible says they're light. Verse 17 says, for momentary light afflictions is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. What Paul is saying is that what you are experiencing this life, however tragic and troublesome you think it is right now, it is light in comparison for the weight of rewards in heaven that it's earning you in Christ Jesus. This is momentary, and light is temporary. But if you could take just a glimpse into heaven, if you could pull back the shroud a little bit, that thin layer between the physical and to the eternal, and if you could pull that back and see the reward that your life in Christ Jesus is earning and working for you, you'd be amazed. I think most of us would be pretty embarrassed because we make much of a little bit because we can't see that, because our minds are just on the earthly things, not on the eternal things. Our minds on the things that we can see rather than the things that we can't see. And Paul is like, listen, guys, you're going to go through it. It's going to be unfair. Listen, but remember this. What you're going through is earning rewards. And the pain that you seem to magnify now is light compared to the heavy weight of reward for all eternity. When we weigh what we are going through against the reward of all eternity, it's a light affliction. See, Paul uses these word contrast. Light affliction, eternal weight of glory. Leonia Vesenit said this, no storm, not even the one in your life, can last forever. Storm is just passing over. See, when life turns on you and you're experiencing the hurt from your storm, stay the course in Christ. Just stay the course. God never wastes the hurt. What you're going through is working in you, is working around you, and it's working for you for all eternity. We gain insights from Psalm 23, verse 4. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. The psalmist is talking about when the shepherd is walking the sheep through this cliff where the sun can't reach in this dark area. And the sun cannot penetrate through there. And thieves and robbers would often hide behind the clefts of the rock and behind bushes in this darkened area. And they would soon attack those who would pass by on this trail. And the psalmist is saying, even though I walk through that valley of the darkest places, as many people would die there, the shadow of death, I fear no evil. I don't fear what's out there. I don't fear those criminals. I don't fear the ones who's going to attack me. That's what he's talking about. Most time we imagine the shadow of death being from life into death. But he's talking about something very practical. Listen, you're going to walk through some shadowy places. those shadows of death in your life that seem to be so weighty and so heavy. But they're light afflictions working in us, through us, and for us. God is bringing you through your storm, through your darkness, through your pain, to bless you for all eternity. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 says it this way. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works within us. God gives it to us. God takes us away. God takes things away to make us better. Sometimes God will take away our dreams. Sometimes God will take away our health. Sometimes God will take away our finances. Maybe even our job. Why? Because He has something He's doing inside of us. And once we get our eyes off of the losses that we have here that are temporary, we'll begin to see what God is telling us. And verse 18 says, "For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Don't hold too tightly to life. Don't hold too tightly to the things that are going on around you right now. It's only temporary. Hold tightly to Christ. Life will be unfair. There will be challenges ahead of you. Hold tightly to Christ. I don't know what 2021 holds. I would love to stand up here and say, man, set your dreams and follow them. That's what motivational speakers do. Here's a gut check, though. God already knows what's in 2021. He's already waiting for us to get there. We just have to get there and follow Him. Lord, whatever 2021 holds, God, I'm going to make some plans. But Father, You tell me if those plans are in Your will. And Lord, move them out of the way if they're not. But I'm going to trust You no matter what comes. No matter what comes, I'm going to trust You. Can you say that today? Lord, I'm going to just hold loosely to this life, but I'm going to cling tightly to You. Even through 2021. 2020, we can't change. We've learned a lot. But 2021, God, we already know You're there waiting on us. Give us faith to walk there. Let's pray together. Father God, today, help us. Because, Lord, we're unsure about so many things. Uncertain about what the future holds. It's a little scary. God, there are a lot of changes coming up in 2021. Changes that some may be approving of, and changes that others are fearful of. God, we don't know what happens in our country. We don't know what happens to our loved ones when there's a pandemic. God, we don't know what happens. We know come this summer the hurricane season is back around. So there's so much uncertainty. God, we don't give up hope. You gave us a good reality check. Lord, may all of the things that we've experienced draw us closer to You. May we seek You out. God, oftentimes You allow tragedies and troubles and storms in our life, not as a punishment to us, God, but to bring us back to You. Because it seems like when things are going good, our human nature just wants to chase after the things of the world. We love You, God. Thank You for Christ Jesus, our Savior. In His name we pray.